Hi, this is Max Mason. Welcome to Path to the Podium. Hey Noah, welcome to Path to the Podium.
Hi, thanks for having me on. Glad to have a chat today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you on here. And I think the best way for us to start is to go into the early parts of your career. So whether it was karting or straight into cars, walk us through what you kind of started in with motorsport.
Yeah, so I started quite early, like not at a very high level, but I started when I was 7 in karts, just at my local kart club in West Australia, where I'm from. I just kind of had a go, really liked it, and it just progressed from there, really. Like you kind of do your first race, and then you do like the next level up, and then you like travel. So yeah, it's kind of just escalated from there, really. But I started quite young.
And what kind of categories did you compete in, and what kind of achievements did you have throughout karting in Australia?
So I raced in Cadet 9, Cadet 12, and then a variety of junior categories. I raced the Australian Championships kind of on and off for 3 or 4 years. When we intended to kind of ramp it up, it was actually when COVID happened. So we got locked into my state being West Australia and were unable to compete in most of that. So I kind of got restricted to just karting in my state for a couple of years. In karting, I didn't really have a whole heap of achievements. I won my like state championship, but I'd say that's just about the extent of it. When I did run the national championships, like I only really had in the final year I did it, I only raced 2 out of the 5 rounds. So I think like we had the potential to maybe get something out of it, but I didn't think we really gave it a proper run.
And how much of your driving now do you think was in part to your karting, or do you think you've completely changed from when you were in karting?
Since karting, we've kind of leveled up everything around my racing. Like it's been kind of a bit of a focus shift, like deciding that this is what I want to do, and it's like taking it really seriously now, and like doing like physical training, like putting a lot of effort into pre-event preparation with sim time and all that sort of thing. I'd say, yeah, I'm a completely different driver than what I was in karting.
And during your karting years, were you ever involved with a team, or were you just a privateer throughout karting?
So I was involved with 3 teams. One was kind of my local team in West Australia, Flat Out Karts. And I raced with them primarily throughout my career. And then I was also a part of Shamik Racing, owned by Shane Wharton. I raced with them at the Australian Championships. And then I also competed with Fusion Motorsport twice. I don't know if you know them, but they're quite a big team in the UK. I raced with them for 1 round of the IMA Euro Series, and I also did the Scusa Super Nationals in 2019 with them.
And in terms of international karting, you went a little bit over that just then, but how, what level did you kind of compete on, or did you just do a few one-off events?
So 2019, I did 2 one-off events, being round 3 of the IMA Euro Series in Mini at Wackersdorf and Scusa Super Nationals. It was kind of like my first taste of international karting, I guess. And the plan was to do a couple of full seasons of international karting before I went into cars. But that all kind of got thrown to the side a bit with COVID and travel restriction. So we kind of slowed the karting down and more looked towards focusing on making an entry to cars in 2022 like we did.
And in Western Australia, how is the motorsport scene over there? Obviously, with karting, you've got a long ways to travel. It's one of the biggest states, I think, even when you take into account the whole planet. So it's difficult to get around. How was the kind of logistics around motorsport?
Yeah, so it's the most isolated city in the world, Perth, fun fact. So it makes it obviously a bit more difficult. Like until last year, there wasn't even a round of the national championships in Perth, just because of how far away it is from the rest of the country. there is now, because the karting scene has gone crazy in West Australia since I left. There's now, like, I think more than 50 people going to each round of the national championships. So it's really good to see.
And then your process into cars. Obviously, when COVID hit, that kind of put a wrench in the works for your international karting. But how was the transition into karts in Western Australia when you made that transition? Or did you move to Europe and make the transition into cars?
Yeah, so I only did one or two races of Formula Ford before I came over here, just in my local club championship. So it was a huge transition coming to Europe. So I've moved to London now to compete in Formula Four. It was a huge transition. We planned it quite early, but even still, it was kind of hard to grasp the extent of it until we moved over here. So
for the Formula Ford, how did that kind of go, and what did you kind of like and not like about the cars?
Yeah, I think it's a great entry level category because it hasn't got aero, so you learn a lot about feeling the grip a bit more. I think it creates really good drivers. I think it's something that probably all drivers should have done at least once. Like, it's a manual, so it's quite technical. But yeah, it was cool to have my first experience, like doing a standing start and all those sorts of things. It put me a little bit in front.
And then what kind of results did you have for those two rounds, or were you just kind of there to learn the basics of motorsport?
I was more kind of there to learn the basics, I'd say. It wasn't something we put a whole heap into, but I think it was really valuable for what it was. We had a couple of good qualifyings and that sort of thing, but just lacked the racecraft side of things. So we didn't really come through with a whole heap of results, but it definitely helped with the transition to European single seaters for sure.
And now you're racing in British F4, I saw. And also, I have to also congratulate you on your first race weekend. It was awesome to see a couple of Australians and obviously some New Zealander drivers beating out the other European drivers. So obviously a bit of national pride there. But how do you think that the season's going for you? Obviously you're with Carlin, one of the top teams in the UK. So walk me through how the whole process of moving into European motorsport and into British F4 went.
Yeah, so my first season was last year. It was definitely a season that I learned a lot from. I raced with JHR, the reigning champions. With the new car coming in, I think it was a lot for some teams to get their head around. Certainly the car was there by the end of the year, and I had some really strong teammates to learn from. So I think I've kind of taken that into this year, and the opportunity to go to Carlin came up after the UAE Championship, which I raced with XL Motorsport. And then we kind of had a couple of good results there. And then we got talking about doing Spanish F4 with them, which I'll race this weekend with Carlin. And then an opportunity to test with the British team came up, and we took it straight away because, like, they're so successful in Britain, and we'd kind of have a experience on the British tracks already. So we thought it'd be a good thing, and we tested well. And then, yeah, we did the first round, not really with any expectation, and it went quite well. So,
and with the Spanish F4, like you were saying, what is it this weekend coming now, and which is it, in Spain, or is it in one of the international races that they do? I think it's Italian that does something else.
So yeah, we're racing at Spa this weekend. It'll be the team's first weekend, so I think it's just gonna be about going in with no expectation and just getting the most out of it and trying to grow with them throughout the year, because it's an incredibly competitive championship. The team and I just need to work as hard as we can to get the most out of it, because I think we both have things to learn.
And so you're competing in two Formula 4 seasons, correct?
Yeah, so I'll miss Brands Hatch this weekend for British F4, and then I'll be racing a full season of Spanish F4 at this rate. It's not confirmed yet as to the next clash, because there is one more clash, I think, between the two of them, but I'll do my best to kind of do all the rounds.
And what are some goals that you have for both championships? Obviously, with Carlin, a very competitive team that is usually up the front, it's also a good backing to have when you're going into especially a new track combination for the car. What are kind of some goals that you have for this year?
So I think this year, as much as like your second year in F4, a lot of people are kind of going out to be champion. Like, I think this year is still certainly a learning year for me. I came across really inexperienced with a lot to learn. So I think this year is definitely a learning year still. I didn't really have any expectation going into that first round of British. So I'm really, really pleased that it went so well. But even for the rest of the rounds, I'm going in with not a lot of expectation, because I just want to extract the most out of it and take it forward into future championships.
And what are some tracks are you looking forward to? I'm sure Spa is on definitely on everyone's checklist to have a go around. But in Spanish F4, you obviously get to experience a lot of tracks that people often haven't heard about. What are some tracks that you're looking forward to on the Spanish calendar?
On the Spanish calendar, for sure, Spa is a bucket list item. Like, it's a track that I've wanted to drive, like, since I first started watching Formula One. Like, you know, you're looking at Eau Rouge and Radeon, and it's just like, it's pretty iconic, and I've tested there already and it was kind of a bit of a dream come true. So yeah, certainly to race on Spa would be amazing, so I'm really looking forward to this weekend. Barcelona is also quite cool. Looking forward to that one. Like, last year I raced the round at Barcelona with JHR, and the audience they had just for Spanish F4 was insane. Like, it was really cool atmosphere, like full grandstands just for Spanish F4.
Yeah, it's awesome, especially for lower level motorsports to gather crowds. I guess F4 is also quite interesting to a lot of people, and I think it's been opened up that a lot of people understand junior formulas now since Drive to Survive. Because once you get to know F1, F1 becomes a bit more boring than what the junior categories kind of offer.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the racing in Formula 4 is, I think, a lot better than probably the higher categories, just with less aero wash and more cars. So yeah, it's really cool to kind of see all the fans take to junior formulas and gain an interest, I guess. Drive to Survive and things has brought in a lot of new people to motorsport, between investors and drivers. So it's been really, really cool to see the level of all the junior formula championships go up in the past few years.
And speaking of investors, how is the funding for your career kind of coming about? Is it personally funded, or have you got a few sponsors on board that help you out?
It's a bit of a mix. So I think we're mainly sponsors at the moment. So I think we were more kind of personal funding and karting and stuff, but when we made the move to single seaters, we had some sponsors and things come on board, and they've been really, really helpful and crucial in terms of securing the seats for last year and this year.
And if you want to mention them as well, it'll be, and send me the things after so we can put them in the links. But I think
yeah, for sure. So the Lee Collection, or Lance East Exotics, is the primary one. It's a car collection based out of West Australia. They've got some really awesome cars. Like, they've got a few hypercars, like McLaren Senna, GTR, McLaren Senna. They've got, I think, a Bugatti coming in now. So that's really cool.
Also, especially for younger drivers, having people invest into them is very crucial, because they are junior formulas, but it doesn't mean they're cheap. So, I mean, for a lot of people, the costs are getting kind of crazy now. What do you kind of think of the, you know, junior formulas kind of skyrocketing into these prices? I mean, it wouldn't have been that long ago before that, you know, the junior formulas were not in the six figures as they are now. But what are your kind of thoughts around it?
I mean, it's a question of supply and demand. I think there's been a hell of a lot more interest and a hell of a lot more drivers come into the market. Like, it's certainly a team's market at the moment. Everyone's got the money to pay for the seats, and like, everyone's fighting over seats, especially the top ones. So it's natural that the price would go up. It's not really, I think, reasonable or the best way to find talent, I guess, because you probably cut out a lot of potential talents coming into the sport by having higher prices. But unfortunately, it's just the nature of motorsport and it is what it is.
Yeah, 100%. I think being back into the generation closer to 2015, 2014, 2013, in those years where you had the current F1 drivers coming through the junior categories, it was definitely where it was a driver's market, where I'm sure those drivers got a pretty nice deal for their rides.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the teams were chasing drivers. Now it's complete opposite. Like you're lucky to be driving for a top team or a team at all in some championships. Like you're seeing full grids out in the UAE and in Italian in Freca. So, and it's like trying to break into the higher categories now. It's like extremely difficult. You need to have the funding and the results to back it up to secure a top seat.
Yeah, so I think it'll be interesting actually to walk through how UAE went for you. I think overall it was very positive for you, but walk me through how the whole championship went and what some things you learned out of it.
Yeah, so the biggest thing I would say is just to be in a seat over that winter period, which it certainly did. I mean, like it's a five races over 6 weeks in January and February. It's quite cool, and especially with F1 going more towards those Middle Eastern tracks, it's really, really valuable going forward to have now driven Yas Marina, and hopefully next year there'll be some F1 tracks in the calendar. I don't know, but it would be cool to see. But it's certainly valuable to have driven some new tracks and things. And it's an awesome championship. Like so many cars, it's super competitive. Yeah, and we had some good results out there as well. So it was really good for me, I think, as a driver. I learned a lot. And kind of progressed throughout it, and it's left me in a much stronger position going into British and Spanish F4 this year.
Yeah, that's the main goal of a winter series, is just to give you a a kick in the butt, ready for the next season. Tighten loose bolts that you've had over the break. But I think a good question would be, outside of Formula One, what are some motorsports that you're really interested in, and what are some other series outside of Formula One that you would enjoy to race?
Certainly, IndyCar would be quite attractive just because it's a single-seater championship still, and I like single-seaters the most. So I think that's a really good series, and it's certainly on the rise at the moment. But also, WEC and the other GT championships have come a long way in the past few years, with more professional drives than ever. So definitely. GTs / WEC or IndyCar in America, really, really attractive.
Yeah, and I think it would be good now to go into what kind of the future holds. So obviously this year is F4. Are you thinking of doing a step into towards British single seaters for next year at a higher level, like GB3 for instance? Or would you step into Europe with Freca or F3? What's your kind of goal for next year?
Yeah, so it's certainly still up in the air. Like we could be anywhere from FIA F3 to GB3 or Euro Cup 3. So it's still well and truly up in the air, but I think GB3 is looking like a good prospect at the moment, getting more European tracks on board. The car's really good. It's quite cost effective for what it is. And obviously Carlin have that step available to us. So that'd be quite a cool thing, but that can all change really quick. Like Euro Cup 3 is also looking quite good. And even Freca.
Yeah, well, I mean, personally, well, for me, I've personally driven a GB3 car, and they're just crazy. They're so much fun to drive. What would be your ideal kind of next year? Walk me through what your kind of planning would be. Would it be to stay with Carlin, or would it be to move into a European seat in an FIA F3 car, whether it's Euro Cup or even moving into like LMP2 or something similar to that? Walk me through a few different scenarios. Have you got any plans for testing a GB3 or a Euro Cup or F3 car this year, or are you fully focused on just completing F4 and then worrying about that in the winter?
I think the first half of the year, we're going to stick exclusively to F4. But in the second half of the year, we'll be looking more towards next year and what that holds. So we'll assess all options and then pursue a testing program that best suits. I think Euro Cup 3 and GB3 are looking like the most likely options at the moment. I'm not sure which of those it will be, but certainly one of those two. And we'll be looking ahead to one of them in the second half.
And have you given any thought into like a series, for instance, or a category like LMP2 or LMP3 for next year as well, as they're pushing into more competitive landscapes as well?
So I think at the moment where the ultimate goal is Formula One, and we're going to get as close to that as we possibly can. That's kind of the career path that I want to pursue. That's not to say that we won't fall down to LMP2 or something like that in the future, but certainly for now we're looking exclusively at single seater racing.
Yeah, I mean, I think to get to Formula One, you do have to do that, just because it's such a brutal path to the top. It kind of takes a lot of brute force to get to the F2 level, and especially to F1. And what are kind of some teams that you're looking at as interest in driver academies and for the future to kind of get close with, so you have an open door towards Formula One?
To be honest, we haven't really looked into it a whole heap yet. We're still very early days. It's only my second season in cars, and especially with the kind of age bracket for drivers entering Formula One going up in the past few years, like looking more at early 20s than late teens. So yeah, like I think we've got a lot of time on our side, and it's something that's very distant in the future that we probably shouldn't go looking into too much yet. But yeah, it's certainly something to think about in the next few years.
And one that's unrelated to driving is what team for this year are you backing for the constructors, and what driver are you backing for the Drivers' Championship?
I think you'd be ignorant to say anyone other than Red Bull and Max Verstappen. Like, they're just quite dominant at the moment. And I think Max has really got the hold within the team in terms of being a number one driver. So yeah, I'd say Max Verstappen and Red Bull, just because of their performance so far this year. It seems that they're kind of in a league of their own, even compared to his own teammate Perez, or compared to Ferrari. It's like, it seems like they're going to walk away with it again.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see this year. Perez has been looking actually quite quick the past few races, so I think it will be close.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's definitely a Red Bull race, and it's going to be between Perez and Max. I mean, we'll see how Aston Martin does as well. Alonso's looking insanely fast recently. I mean, yeah, I mean, out of all the years, I definitely do miss 2021 for that championship battle, because that was just crazy. That was like the most fun thing to watch.
Yeah, it was really cool to see such a close fight for the title. You don't really see that as much anymore. I mean, the racing's got a lot better and things, but certainly a proper title fight between teams would be nice to see again. Like, you think back to 2010 when you had four cars fighting for the championship going into the last race. That's just kind of the ultimate spectacle, which I think it kind of misses a bit now, but it's definitely improving all the time. So we'll see for next year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to regulation change, so we'll give them a few years to get everything sorted. But I think the new cars are definitely an improvement from the older ones.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, like, you've seen some really cool on-track battles now, which perhaps you wouldn't have seen before.
Yeah, well, you've answered all my questions brilliantly. If you've got any questions for me, please ask. But it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always rooting for you in Formula Cars. I'll be keeping up with all your races and cheering for you as another fellow Australian. So
it's
been a pleasure speaking with you. Yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for listening to Path to the Podium. I'm your host, Max Mason. Listen in next Monday for another dive into the motorsport industry and what it takes to get to the podium. Keep sending it.